My grandfather was born in the summer of 1892. Benjamin Harrison was president of the United States. Out in the Midwest, angry farmers were forming a third political party, and William McKinley was governor of Ohio, having recently been voted out of Congress for his association with a high tariff that bore his name. I know from how my students react to stories about the 1890s that that time seems as far away as the Middle Ages, and I always wonder how to bring the past more viscerally to life for those who aren't inclined to partake of it. A recently discovered recording of a banjo gives us another way of literally hearing the 1890s and a window into the way one particular artist performed in the 19th century. Charles Asbury was born in Florida in the late 1850s to Spanish immigrants. He became a notable actor, singer, and instrumentalist, and moved to New York in the 1880s, where he joined what was the first black vocal group to record commercially. He became a widely celebrated banjo player and a regular on the vaudeville circuit. Beginning in 1891, he recorded several banjo performances for the New Jersey Phonograph Company and the United States Phonograph Company. He recorded them on what were called cylinders, wax-coated tubes that couldn't be reproduced. You could only make one record per performance. Now, a company in Illinois called Archaeophone has taken those old recordings, cleaned them up, and issued them along with detailed musical and historic liner notes. Archaeophone was formed in 1998 and is dedicated to the discovery, restoration, and the issuing of music recorded between 1890 and 1925. They've released 70 recordings, and they've won Grammys for their work. I'm inclined to think of recordings like this as time capsules, messages from artists that help us get back into history in the way that tales of Grover Cleveland and the fight over the gold standard do not. These songs remind me of recordings made by the great blues guitarist Robert Johnson. In 1936 and 37, he recorded over 24 songs in two small studios in San Antonio and Dallas. Listening to them takes you vividly back to the Great Depression and closer to the birth of the blues. These songs of Asbury's reach even further back in our cultural history. The point of all this is by no means the quality of the recording. Neither is it the distinct novelty of hearing something recorded more than 120 years ago. The point is that these performances connect us to history, something that the arts have a distinctive, if often overlooked, ability to do. Through the arts, the days of William McKinley and of my grandfather's childhood can be felt as clearly as yesterday.